from what they learn within themselves. They generate their own happiness, and much of that comes from serving and sharing with others. Leaders enjoy tackling problems, obstacles, and challenges. Leaders are achievement-oriented. They have a vision that helps them see beyond their task or job. They know what the word choose means and how to use it. Choose means that I am responsible for my choices. Choose means that I am accountable for my choices. Choose means that I have control over what I do. Choose means that I accept the consequences that accompany my choices. If something fails, I deserve the blame. But if it succeeds, I have earned the reward. Worker-decider teachers do not strive for success, happiness, money, or respect. This is why they do not receive the rewards they long for. Leader professional educators are rewarded with whatever they are striving for, be it happiness, success, money, achievement, popularity, or professional respect. Leaders are people who strive for results and have a passionate pursuit for achievement. Workers decide. Life's rewards come from what others get for me. I expect others to bring me happiness. Life will be better when I get a new X or more Y. Life would be easier if I didn't have to do all these things. All I want is some peace and quiet. I can't do this. I've got to go home and feed the dog. I can't wait for the weekend. Leaders choose. Life's rewards come from what I earn. I will generate my own happiness. Life is better when I share or help others. Life is fine because I want and choose to do these things. I enjoy challenges. They are the elixirs of life. I'll do this. Then I'll go home and have a wonderful evening with my family. I can't wait for the math conference. Now that you know the difference between deciding and choosing, what will you decide or choose to do? The choices we make determine our future. On December 1, 1955, Rosa Parks, a 42-year-old African-American woman, made a choice. Her choice was made on bus number 2857. Today, you can board that bus at the Henry Ford Museum and Greenfield Village in Dearborn, Michigan, and relive history by sitting in the same seat Rosa Parks sat in that fateful day. At the time, the Jim Crow law mandated the first 10 rows of a bus were reserved for whites. Rosa Parks sat, correctly, in the 11th row, the first row behind the white section. However, on that day, all of the seats in the bus soon filled. When a white man boarded the bus, the driver, following the standard practice of segregation, asked that all four blacks sitting just behind the white section give up their seats so the white man could sit there. Rosa Parks quietly refused to give up her seat. When the police came on the bus that day, they said to Rosa Parks, "You know, if you continue to sit there, we're going to have to throw you in jail." She answered, "You may do that." An enormously polite way of saying, "What could your jail possibly mean compared to the imprisonment I've been subjected to for the past 42 years, an incarceration from which I break out of today?" Her action on the bus that day was ultimately her personal choice. After her arrest, local civil rights activists initiated a boycott of the Montgomery bus system. Leading the boycott group was a young Baptist minister who was new to Montgomery. His name was Martin Luther King, Jr. Because African Americans made up about 75% of the bus riders in Montgomery, the boycott posed a serious economic threat to the company and the white rule of the community. The boycott lasted 381 days into December 1956, when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the segregation law was unconstitutional and the Montgomery buses were to be integrated. It was Rosa Parks' arrest that that ultimately gave every American citizen, regardless of color, creed, or national origin, the freedom to sit where one chooses to sit, eat where one chooses to eat, worship where one chooses to worship, and learn where one chooses to learn. You choose to learn. Although we all have the freedom to learn, note where some people sit at team meetings. Some arrive early just to be able to reserve seats in the last row or sit in the most remote corners. Their message is clear. I do not want to learn, nor do I want to collaborate. They behave like the students they complain about. If this is your school or the behavior of selected teachers, make a personal choice and stop allowing negative influences and the school climate from being your enemy. If you have children, tell them to do this as well. It's a sad reality that you may be one of the finest teachers and have the finest of lessons and programs, but if you work in a negative culture, the culture always wins. When Rosa Parks sat down that day, it was partly an acknowledgement that by conspiring with racism, she had helped create racism. As a teacher, if you conspire to be part of a negative culture, then you help create a culture where the children are the losers. There was a time when we could discriminate against minorities by restricting them to less appealing places. That way, minorities could not get anything, while the majority got to choose everything. Jobs, opportunities, and schooling. However, because of activists like Rosa Parks, today the only person who can legally discriminate against you is yourself. Thanks to Rosa Parks and her contemporaries, we now have equal access to all the opportunities that are available in a free world. She left behind an inspirational legacy. Having choices in school and learning is one of them. The professional educator chooses to always learn and grow. The professional educator is on an endless journey, looking for new and better ideas, new information, and improved skills to further student success. Work your passion. Listen to the sounds of your heart. Make that your choice. He made a choice to be an effective teacher. Elmo Sanchez teaches in the Miami-Dade County Public Schools and made a choice. His parents made a choice as well when they came to the United States from Cuba. He writes, "I was hired to teach fifth grade reading, language arts, ESE inclusion, and ESOL. Monday, August 8th was the first day of the academic school year. I struggled through my day's lessons. My students spoke throughout the class period and had no sense of direction. I found myself using my loud and or angry voice. I would go home angry and my family felt the direct effects. At the end of the school year, I reflected on my achievements and failures in the classroom. I labeled myself an ineffective teacher because my classroom lacked structure. As a professional, I was disappointed in myself and felt I needed to make changes. Each year, the Miami-Dade County Public Schools has a summer professional development meeting. On Friday, June 9th, I remember sitting in the Miami Lakes Educational Center auditorium, and I was captivated. Dr. Wong's classroom management strategies, techniques, and explanations made sense. Then, as he says, I had a light bulb moment. What would happen if I could take these strategies back with me to improve the way I managed my class? I could visualize the changes in my head that were going to take place in my classroom the next academic school year. By the end of the seminar, changes were occurring in my mind. I could picture ways of changing my failures into successes. After viewing Chalanda Saroyer's PowerPoint presentation online, I began to develop my own PowerPoint presentation. I also read through The First Days of School twice and began to formulate a plan that would suit me as a teacher. It took me about a month to develop my classroom management PowerPoint presentation. Picture this. Monday, August 14th, the first day of the academic school year. I opened the door at 8:15 a.m. and greeted my students with an extended right arm. Shaking my students' hands, I would say, "Welcome to our class. I'm glad you are here." My students greeted me back with warm smiles. I projected the bell work assignment as a PowerPoint slide. By the time I closed the door, all of my students were actively working. I could not believe it. After my students completed the bell work, I began to introduce my students to the PowerPoint presentation I had created. By the end of the day, my students were following the classroom procedures. When the 3 p.m. dismissal bell rang, no one got up. They all waited for me to dismiss them. I had control of my class, and it was only the first day of school. At the end of the day, peace was with me. I went home happy with an upbeat attitude. For the first time in my professional career, I had a feeling that was missing from my life for a very long time. My family noticed the difference in me and liked the new, happier me. I came to love my profession after the first day of school, and my students felt safe in the classroom atmosphere that I created. Last year, I was a stressed-out teacher with a chaotic classroom. Now I feel that I'm an effective teacher with a structured classroom. My students are always happy to come to my class. The parents are always asking, "What do you do that causes my child to become so engaged in your class? My child wants to come to your class even though he is sick." My secret recipe is having a structured classroom with procedures. I'm glad I made a choice to restructure my classroom. I would say that on June 9th, my life as a professional teacher was transformed. Thank you for helping me make a choice to be effective. Life begins when you make choices. Laura was a worker teacher. She was typical of the countless number of sweet, kind, average people who teach. Laura was a survivor. She did her work. She taught class, gave assignments, wrote tests, showed videos, passed out worksheets, supervised the cafeteria, attended faculty meetings, and baked cookies for the textbook selection committee she was on for the year. She had a family and sang in the church choir. She took early retirement at 53, having put in 30 years. During that time, she never read a journal, joined a professional organization, or attended a conference. During her 30 years, Laura never caused any problems, did not abuse her sick leave, and seldom said a word at faculty meetings. She always sat at the back of meetings and knitted. She didn't really harm any children, but then she never really lit fires under any of them either. She did her job and felt, as workers are prone to tell you angrily, "I did my job, didn't I? What more do you want me to do? I wish they would end this staff meeting. I have to get home." Over a decade later, I saw this familiar face at the mall. I gingerly walked over and said, "Excuse me, are you Laura? Remember me? We used to teach together." Without much enthusiasm, she said, "Oh, yes." I asked her what she had been doing, and she groaned, "Oh, not much. I come to the mall a lot. It's safe here, you know. I see my grandchildren, I have three, and watch television. That's my life. I walk the malls, babysit the grandchildren, and watch television." Then she asked, "And what are you doing?" With a smile, I said, "Oh, I'm so happy I chose teaching as a profession. I've written a book, gave a presentation at the International Reading Association conference, met my wonderful wife at a teacher's conference, and indulge my taste for fine dining. Life has been very good to me." We sat down on a nearby bench amid passing shoppers and socializing teenagers. She looked at me sadly, with tears welling up in her eyes, and asked, "When does the good life begin?" I refrained from telling her, "Laura, the good life begins when you start making choices." Harry K. Wong. Go Be. The Thin Margin for Success. The margin for success is so thin that getting across it is astonishingly simple. To make that step, go to the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 25 at EffectiveTeaching.com. The Basics for a Beginning Teacher. The most crucial time in a new teacher's life is during the first 3 years. Statistics show that some 40% of new teachers will opt to leave teaching in their first few years on the job. Although administrators like to refer to this as attrition, in athletics it's called quitting. Regardless of the reasons former teachers give for leaving the noble profession, the fact is successful teachers do not quit. The professional educator accepts the responsibility of personal growth and invests the necessary time to become an effective and successful teacher. Don't whine, don't blame. Instead, make this your mantra in life. What do I need to know in order to do what I need to do? Repeat. What do I need to know in order to do what I need to do? Of course, you need to know how to manage a classroom and how to teach and assess a lesson for student learning. That is the subject of this book. For additional information, go to these websites, teachers.net, education-world.com, k6educators.about.com, sitesforteachers.com. You also need to know what is happening in the profession so that you do not become a victim. These are some websites where you can begin your journey to success. Most are free, but you can also choose to subscribe to their offerings and have information delivered to your email account. ednews.org, edweek.org, gse.harvard.edu/ngt/. tcrecord.org, newteacher.com, publiceducation.org/newsblast_current.asp. Knowledge to help you become a more effective teacher is at your fingertips, waiting to be accessed. Our purpose is to help you jumpstart the first days of school. Use these same days to jumpstart your life, too. Start correctly. Maintain a strong vision of doing those things that will help you become an effective teacher, the subtitle of this book. Keep a laser focus on becoming a teacher leader. It is the teacher leader who is the most significant factor in improving student achievement. Research consistently shows that educational fads and innovations are not the major factors for improving student achievement. The only factor that is able to consistently impact student achievement is the significance of a teacher. I am quite an ordinary person, but I am extraordinary in the sense that every task I undertake, I give it my heart and soul. Rosemary T. Wong. The significance of a teacher. Society needs models of leadership. What better models of leadership are there than the teachers of a community? Teachers can be accurately compared with business executives. Similar to executives, teachers develop, manage, and evaluate the work and productivity of a relatively large number of individuals on a daily basis. When comparing teachers and doctors, teachers actually make more complex and fewer routine decisions than doctors, and they make them far more frequently. More teachers go into teaching because of the influence of another teacher. This is not true for other professions. Teachers have influence. Teaching is the profession that makes all other professions possible. We are the only profession dedicated to making the world a better place for future generations. They are our legacy. The effective teacher knows that all children are capable of success. Commitment, dedication, and hard work make a person a leader. Ability and talent are not enough. The world loves talent, but pays off character. Character is the product of ability and talent combined with relentless practice and tempered by years of training. Even then, leaders give more because they dedicate their hearts and souls to helping children achieve. If you have taught for more than 20 years, then you can recall the significance of that teary-eyed, emotional experience of a student's return visit. Even if you are just starting out, we wish you the same kind of event sometime down the road. The greatest day of a teacher's life. Perhaps the greatest day of a teacher's life is when a former student comes back to visit. There you are, consumed with teaching, when this face suddenly appears in the doorway. It's a former student, but you don't recognize him. Children have a way of changing after 20 years or so. You suspect he's a parent, so you directly ask, "Yes?" "Mrs. Riley?" the person replies. Agitated at the disturbance because class is in session and no appointment has been made, you curtly respond, "Yes, I'm Mrs. Riley." "Remember me? Keith. Keith Marlowe. I was in your class 23 years ago and I sat right there in that chair. Remember me?" You don't, but you fake it. "Oh, yes, Keith. How are you?" "I'm fine. And how are you, Mrs. Riley?" "Oh, I'm fine, too." "I don't live here anymore. I live 2,000 miles away, but I come back to see my parents from time to time. On my way back to the airport, I couldn't help but notice that I had some free time, so I decided to come over here to see you. And I'm so happy to find you still here. For you see, Mrs. Riley, I've come here to tell you something. I am who I am, and I am what I am, and I am where I am in life today because of what you represented to me 23 years ago." Notice that Keith did not say anything about what she taught him, nor did he say anything about some fun activity he did in class. Keith described Mrs. Riley as a paragon. She was a role model. She was a significant adult in his life. He extends his hand to shake Mrs. Riley's hand and says, "I've come today just to say thank you." Keith smiles, nods affirmatively, turns, and is about to walk out of her life forever when Mrs. Riley says, "Keith, please don't leave. I have something to say." With 28 students watching her, and with tears flowing down her cheeks, she says, "Keith, we teachers rarely get any validation for what we do. But what you have done today is all we teachers want. The knowledge that we've made a difference in someone's life." Her voice choking now, Mrs. Riley says, "Thank you for making my day." Keith responds, "Thank you, Mrs. Riley. But you made my life." You are the difference. You are the determiner of success in your classroom. You make this possible not only by what you do, but more importantly, through your positive attitude and your strong affirmation of children. It is your leadership ability that can and should make a difference in their lives. What you choose to believe is what you choose to become. 100 years from now, it will not matter what kind of car I drove, what kind of house I lived in, how much I had in the bank, or what my clothes looked like. But the world will be a better place because I was important in the life of a child. Forrest E. Whitcraft. 10 Beliefs of Successful Teachers. 1. Believe that every child who enters your classroom wants to grow and learn and be successful and has the capacity to do so. 2. Believe in yourself that you have the skills needed to reach children and move them to new heights. 3. Believe that every day is a new day with the opportunity to start anew. 4. Believe that you are part of a greater community of educators who are proud of their profession and dedicated to their calling. 5. Believe that the smile of welcome you radiate to your students every day will warm the hearts of more bodies than you will ever imagine. 6. Believe in partnerships with colleagues, administrators, and parents that will nurture children. 7. Believe that you are both a teacher and a learner and grow yourself professionally each year. 8. Believe that hard work is required for success. 9. Believe that education is the bedrock of humanity. 10. Believe that we are here to help you and your students achieve success. What teachers do is nothing short of a miracle that humbles and inspires us all. You are the window through which children see the world. You are the sanctuary their heavy hearts come to each day. It only takes one person to make a difference, and we applaud that person who does. Know that you don't just make a difference. You are the difference. The effective teacher, 1, is a professional educator. 2, is a teacher leader. 3, makes choices. 4, strives to be the difference in the lives of students. Epilogue. How to create a culture of effective teachers. The key idea: the most effective schools have consistency. The future. Epilogues in literary works deal with the future of its characters. This epilogue is no different. It deals with your future in education and what you can do with your years of classroom experience to help those teachers who follow in your footsteps. The first 25 chapters in this book are directed to teachers. The information in this chapter is for teacher leaders, coaches, staff developers, mentors, administrators, and most importantly, you, the leaders and future leaders of the profession. This epilogue explains how you can develop a culture of effective teachers. The key is consistency. The most effective schools have a culture of consistency. Consistency is what you want when you buy a product and use the services of a person or company. That's why you have a favorite hairdresser, cereal, restaurant, and store. Consistent means that you can depend on a product or a service. Consistent denotes meeting an expectation. It means that you know what will happen with a product or a service, and you can depend on getting a predictable result. Consistent does not mean status quo, never changing. An effective classroom is consistent. Please go back to the very beginning of the book and review the concept of consistency in the classroom. In part, it says, students want a safe, predictable, and nurturing environment, one that is consistent. No one yells at them, and learning takes place. This book began with the concept of consistency in the classroom, and it has taken 25 chapters to explain how to establish that consistency. You know a classroom has consistency when you see everyone at work in a safe, caring, and focused environment. Safe. Students are working in a well-managed classroom. Unit C. Caring. Teachers have positive expectations for student success. Unit B. Focused. Teachers are providing instruction on what needs to be learned. Unit D. And now, this book ends with the concept of consistency in the school. The last days of school. I am beginning my third year as principal at a year-around middle school. After I heard you speak, I had an epiphany of how to create an effective school with effective teachers. Even though the school year was coming to an end, I did not think waiting until next year would be a wise decision. Timing was important, and just as important was involving the faculty and staff in this process. Before the students returned for the fourth 9 weeks, we had a teacher workday. I showed DVD 3, Discipline and Procedures, from The Effective Teacher, and used that as a springboard for discussion on school-wide procedures that needed to be established. My approach was simple. We must create procedures and establish routines as we move into the last days of school. Next, I had teachers get into groups and list the top 6 procedures that we needed to address. Finally, each group presented their list, and teachers were given 3 sticky dots to vote for what they believed were the top procedures. 1. Walk quickly on the right side of the hall with whisper voices and hands to self. 2. Enter each class quietly, sit quickly, and put book bag under your desk. 3. Teachers are the first into the hall after each bell. 4. Quiet signal, hand raised in the air. Parents were informed, and procedure posters of our new school-wide procedures were displayed around the building and in every class. Teachers spent several days having the students practice the procedures. The students realized the importance of the procedures and liked the structure. Teachers felt less stressed and were able to focus on teaching and learning. The story does not end here. In July of this school year, when teachers returned for their workdays, we viewed DVD 4, Procedures and Routines. Once again, teachers revisited our procedures and decided to keep the 4 school procedures and add 3 additional. 5. All students will sit in their assigned seats. 6. Students will write the lesson objective and homework assignment in their planner. 7. Every class will start with a bell work activity. We have just finished our last 9 weeks. Many teachers have commented on how well-behaved the students are this year compared to prior years. One teacher even stated that this was the best 9 weeks of teaching she has ever had. The number of student disciplinary incidents is lower compared to previous years. Teacher morale in general is higher. Dr. Wong, you are right. The secret is consistency with school-wide procedures to create an effective school with effective teachers. Thomas Hatch, Principal, Ann Chestnut Middle School, Fayetteville, North Carolina. This sign welcomes children to school in Texas. School, a place for teaching and learning. Place where children are taught, nurtured, enlightened, and loved. Noun. Proficient and Effective. The subtitle of this book is How to Be an Effective Teacher. It is our firm belief that everyone can become an effective teacher. Study after study states that effective teachers produce improved student learning. It is the teachers and their instructional practices, not curriculum programs, changes in school structure, or legislative mandates that improve student learning. Let's look at these 2 key terms. Proficient, having knowledge and skills. Effective, having an effect, producing a result. Teachers who are proficient and effective produce measurable student learning. Programs do not produce achievement. Teachers produce student achievement. Teachers, not programs, produce student achievement. The difference between successful and unsuccessful schools is easy to spot. Unsuccessful schools stress programs and make structural changes. They spend millions of dollars adopting programs, fads of the year, in constant pursuit of the quick and easy fix. Successful schools stress practices. Administrators wisely invest in their teachers, their human capital, and the effectiveness of their teachers. They don't teach programs. They teach basic, traditional academic content. They work at improving the instructional practices of their teachers because they know that instructional skill is a major factor in improving student achievement. Go Be. It's a happy place. Principal Edward Aguiz says, "Teachers and students love to come to this school." Read how he did it in the Going Beyond folder for the epilogue at EffectiveTeaching.com. Planning for learning. To improve student learning, you do not change the structure, that is, block scheduling, smaller class size, small school size, etc. You change the instructional practices of the teachers. The schools that seem to do best are those that have a clear idea of what kind of instructional practice they want to produce and then design a structure to go with it. Funds are much better spent training and developing teachers than in buying one program after another. Educational leaders know that what matters is whether schools can offer their neediest students good teachers trained in effective strategies to teach strong academic knowledge and skills. The ineffective teacher affects little, if any, growth in students. Surrounding these teachers with programs, schedule modifications, school changes, and mandates will never improve student learning. The effective teacher, even in an ineffective school, produces improved student learning and increased student achievement. Refer to Chapter 4 for more validation on this topic. That is why effective administrators recruit and then train their teachers to be proficient and effective. The greatest asset of a school. Peter Drucker, the famed business guru, coined the term human capital and considered people assets. During the Industrial Revolution, physical capital such as gold, manufactured products, buildings, and money were considered the source of most wealth and virtually all economic growth. In today's digital age, human capital is what companies invest in to bring wealth and economic growth. Human capital refers to what people know, proficient, and can do, effective. Human capital is not measured by accumulated physical assets, but by knowledge, skills, and attitudes. The very idea of human capital replacing physical capital was so novel it won a Nobel Prize, 1992, for its most ardent exponent, University of Chicago economist Gary Becker. Companies today depend on their people to create the next trends and great ideas. Human capital is the wealth and future of a company. People are its major assets. Peter Drucker says that if you ask any business person to name their greatest asset, they will tell you it's their people. An asset is what you invest in to make it grow into greater assets. That's why businesses spend $53 billion each year training their people, their assets, to make them worth more to a company. Thus, they consider their people their human capital. The better their people, their assets, the more successful the company. However, ask a school administrator or policymaker to name their greatest asset, and they will often tell you it's money or programs. Rarely do you hear anyone say their teachers are their most valuable assets. Yet the research says it over and over again. Teacher instructional quality is the most critical factor by which to improve student achievement or close the achievement gap. The most effective administrators, coaches, staff developers, and teacher leaders are instructional leaders. A study of 7 urban districts reported that the only reform effort that clearly resulted in student achievement gains had clear instructional expectations, supported by extensive professional development over a period of several years. Ask the baseball manager, construction foreman, or senior partner in a law firm what they do with new employees. They will tell you that all employees are trained from the day they arrive, and the training continues until the employee leaves. Now ask a school administrator what they do with a new teacher. Some do nothing. Most will tell you they assign a mentor to the new teacher and rarely monitor the result of the relationship. The only way to close the student achievement gap is to close the teacher instruction gap. Teach the teachers well, and they will teach the students well. Effective schools have a culture where they consistently invest in teacher capital. Go B. Use coaches, not mentors. Many districts now understand that a critical component of a successful induction program is a coach. Read why in the Going Beyond folder for the epilogue at effectiveteaching.com. Creating an effective school culture. Effective schools have a culture based on their human capital. An effective culture has two characteristics, beliefs and practices. 1. Beliefs, the vision, goals, and beliefs of a group. 2. Practices, what people do and practice to achieve the belief. All good schools have a vision or belief, and it is always student success. Schools achieve the belief by what they do, the practices used by the teachers. Ineffective schools do not have a culture. They do not nurture their teachers as human capital. They have a building with a collection of people isolated in their offices or rooms doing what they claim are their jobs. The only thing these people have in common is the parking lot. Go B. A most effective school. Visit a school with a consistent learning environment in the Going Beyond folder for the epilogue at effectiveteaching.com. Discover what procedures this school uses. The role of an administrator is to establish, nurture, and disseminate a culture. Lee Douglas is a principal in an urban school district. Her 600 students are mostly minorities with family structures and income levels that are challenging. Yet the test scores at her school are extraordinary. The kids and teachers love coming to school, and the teachers never leave. Lee Douglas has established a successful learning culture at her school. Each school day starts with a teacher beating a drum. When the students hear the drum, they gather and stand in a designated line. They know the procedure, as they want to be recognized with the Line of the Day award. Then a group of adults raise their hands. A hush falls over the playground. No voices are used. There are no orders and no yelling. The morning routine begins, conducted by a group of students. Each week, a different class leads the routine. A different student from the class steps forward and leads the students in the prescribed order of the day. The Pledge of Allegiance, 30 seconds of silent meditation, the school song on Tuesday and Friday only, the school motto, the school pledge, the school slogan. All of the above are done to cement daily the culture and vision of the school. A teacher reviews the life skill for the week. Lee Douglas makes a few quick announcements, and the Line of the Day award is given. The Line of the Day class leads the students off the playground, and all the classes follow and fan out to enter various doors of the school building. As each class walks down the hall, there is no talking, pushing, or shoving. This is because the procedure is zip and flip, meaning the lips are zipped closed and the arms are folded. That is, flipped, gently across each other. When the respective classes enter their rooms, yes, there is a bell work assignment awaiting them, and the school day begins. Everyone is at work in a safe, caring, and focused environment. The kids love the school. The parents love the school. And the teachers love the school. One day, Lee Douglas reported that she looked up at the group of parents gathered behind the lines of students, and there was a 3-year-old child standing at the end of one of the lines. He had learned all the lines and was reciting with the students. He said to her, "I'm ready to go to school." With a school-wide morning routine, the school culture is reinforced every day. When Lee Douglas is assigned to start a new school, she takes a critical mass of 8 to 10 teachers, her human capital, with her, and they help her instantly implement a positive culture in a new school. One year, Lee Douglas was asked to consult in a school district where 7 schools were on a state probation list. In one year, she turned 6 of the schools around, and they came off the state list. The one school that didn't make it? The principal said, "I lost the notes from the meeting." How she created a school culture. The culture at this school did not just happen. It was guided by Lee Douglas working with her staff. How did her school achieve this culture? She assigned groups of teachers to summarize each chapter in this book, The First Days of School. Each Friday throughout the school year, a group reported on their assigned chapter and made 1 or 2 suggestions for adoption consideration, such as having a bellwork assignment in each class, how to properly walk in the halls, how best to welcome students to class, and so forth. The teachers made the suggestions, and procedures were democratically agreed upon. Nothing was mandated from the administration. The school-wide procedures became part of the culture of the school. With students knowing the structure of the school day, more time was available for instruction. Over time, the students were learning more, and the school's test scores increased. Go Bee. It turned our school around. Principal Mike G. says, "Our scores have hit heights we only dreamed about." Read how he did it in the Going Beyond folder for the epilogue at effectiveteaching.com. The importance of teachers. More than 200 studies have shown that the most significant factor in improving student learning is a knowledgeable and skillful teacher. It's the teacher. We've known this for decades, yet we still do not work to implement the obvious. As teachers' effectiveness increases and as the human capital grows, the first group that benefits from this improvement is the lower-achieving students. For further validation of the importance of effective teachers, see Chapter 4. The achievement gap facing poor and minority students is not due to poverty or to family conditions, but to systematic differences in teacher quality. These differences produce long-term consequences. A student who is taught by an ineffective teacher for 2 years in a row, for example, can never recover the learning lost during those years. The significance of a teacher. A UCLA study attributed to John Goodlad reviewed 40 years of educational ideas and found that only one factor increased student achievement. The one factor that increased student achievement was the significance of a teacher. Additionally, a large-scale Harvard-published study found that every dollar spent on building human capital and raising teacher quality netted greater student achievement gains than did all other uses of school resources. It's the teacher and how the teacher is trained that produces student achievement gains. The 3 R's. Teachers are important. Teachers are influential. Teachers are able to make a difference. Helen Morsink. The importance of administrators. Effective administrators create a culture where the focus is on how teachers instruct and how students learn, not on programs, structures, fads, or ideologies. Superintendents. There is a direct link between a superintendent's leadership and student achievement. When superintendents keep their districts focused on teaching and learning, not programs, student achievement improves. Principals. A study reviewing 30 years of research concluded that principals who are instructional leaders and concentrate on teaching the right instructional practices, not programs, can elevate a school scoring in the 50th percentile another 10 to 19 percentage points. Help at 35,000 feet. To not provide comprehensive induction is like asking a pilot to learn how to fly while taking a plane load of passengers up for the first time. And then, if the pilot has a problem, he can call his mentor, who is 35,000 feet away, at best. The importance of professional development. More than 80% of a school district's budget is spent on teachers' salaries. Yet many administrators and policymakers turn around and ignore teachers as assets after they are hired. Teachers are summarily dumped into the classroom to survive with no structured, coherent growth development program. As embarrassing as it sounds, some teachers are not even provided with a curriculum. The best way to have effective teachers is through a comprehensive induction program that begins before the first day of school. You cannot create a good school without good teachers. It is the administrator who creates a good school, and it is the teacher who creates a good classroom. Comprehensive training programs are the norm for most jobs. Ask the baseball manager, construction foreman, or senior partner in a law firm what they do. Ask the workforce at leading chains like Domino's Pizza, Starbucks, the Cheesecake Factory, and McDonald's. Every employee is trained. Even the best educated of new employees need on-the-job training. Despite completing college and medical school, doctors spend years working as hospital residents before entering private practice. Newly elected judges, armed with law degrees and years of experience, attend judicial college before assuming the bench. Pilots receive initial training and recurrent training every time they change positions, such as from co-pilot to pilot, and when they fly a different type of plane, such as from a 737 to a 757. Comprehensive professional development. In the Hopewell City Schools of Virginia, every new teacher at the school level has access to the following complement of people. Buddy. An assigned teacher to whom the novice teacher can turn for immediate help for answers or quick advice. Coach. A teacher with expertise in classroom management and instructional skills. As the title implies, their role is to develop skills in classroom management and instruction. Lead teacher. A teacher who can help with subject matter questions. There are five on each campus, each specializing in one of five areas: English, math, science, social studies, and technology. And if you have been hired at Carter G. Woodson School in Hopewell, Virginia, the new teachers are given a shower. The teachers celebrate your arrival by putting out boxes and baskets where the other teachers can place materials for bulletin boards, sticky notes, crayons, books, and necessities of the classroom. Then, the staff helps you, the new teacher, set up your classroom. The Hopewell City Schools is a highly distinguished Title I school system and a Standard & Poor's Outstanding School Division. Also, all the schools in Hopewell are 100% accredited. Go B. The Hopewell Model. Hopewell does not pay big bucks, yet their teachers are happy and their students achieve. Find out how they do it in the Going Beyond folder for the epilogue at effectiveteaching.com. The Gaston County Schools of North Carolina have a building dedicated to professional development. For 20 years, they have had a full-time staff devoted to an organized, coherent, and sustained process of producing proficient and effective teachers. The Gaston County Schools of North Carolina Professional Development Center houses meeting rooms, a media center, and a library, all equipped with state-of-the-art presentation equipment. The staff coordinates and conducts training through the year, as well as provides space for smaller school team meetings. Gaston County has had a comprehensive new teacher induction program since 1990. They also have instructional coaches at high-needs schools and professional learning communities throughout the district. Gaston County is serious about producing proficient and effective teachers. Team-oriented results. Most employees of companies work in teams. This is because teams produce results. People who work in isolation do not produce results. Most schools are organized so the staff functions in isolation. Collaboration is rare. Worse yet, new teachers seldom see another classroom. Isolation and lack of support further exacerbate the problems of beginning teachers. Yet, the research is clear, teachers working collaboratively will significantly raise their productivity and the quality of their work. Within high-success schools in low-income areas, teachers and principals have built into their regular schedules time for teachers to intensively share each other's ideas and procedures and work together. The Schmoker model is an example of a tool schools use to structure their collaboration. Professionals do not work alone. They work in teams. When teachers meet in teams to focus on a problem, they become part of a unit that will work with students who are in need of help. Professional development is most effective, and teachers learn more in sustained teacher networks and study groups than they do with individual mentors. Collaboration is the most effective way for teachers to learn. Teachers should be in teams working collaboratively around problems identified in their schools and related to students. Kathleen Fulton, Director, Reinventing Schools for the 21st Century. Collaboration helps keep teachers. It's a known fact. Teachers working in isolation make student achievement a next to impossible feat. Susan Moore Johnson of the Project on the Next Generation of Teachers at the Harvard Graduate School of Education says, "Our work suggests that schools would do better to rely less on one-on-one mentoring and instead develop school-wide structures that promote the frequent exchange of information and ideas among novice and veteran teachers." Grade-level teams using carefully developed curriculum consistently get better results than collections of individual teachers using an eclectic collection of curriculum. The majority of teachers being hired today are part of the Generation Y cohort. The attributes of a Gen Y teacher lend themselves positively toward establishing a collegial learning environment. Gen Ys desire collaboration, assimilate quickly, and have high energy. Schools will see improved student learning if they will harness the collective intelligence, creativity, and genius of this new generation of teachers. Just think how much more effective our teachers and schools can be if a new teacher joins an existing team of collaborative learners. Go Be, 40 million strong. The Y generation group has many positive attributes that lend themselves to teaching. These qualities are in the Going Beyond folder for the epilogue at effectiveteaching.com. It's time to turn the page. Businesses spend $53 billion each year on training. Education spends $7.3 billion each year to recruit and replace teachers. Each year, school districts spend billions hiring teachers to replace the teachers hired the year before, when a fraction of that money could be applied to a structured, coherent, and sustained professional development program. Teachers stay when they are successful. We know the following. The single greatest effect on student achievement is the effectiveness of the teacher. New teachers are not as effective as veteran teachers. Teachers that work in isolation are not as effective as teachers who work as part of a learning team. It is costly and unconscionable to keep hiring new teachers to replace the teachers hired the previous year to fill the same positions. New teachers will succeed and stay if they are given training and collegial support. Therefore, to keep new teachers, to close the teacher instruction gap, and to incrementally improve student achievement, provide every new teacher with the following. 1. A structured and coherent induction program that flows seamlessly into a sustained professional development program. 2. A grade level or content level learning team they can become a collegial part of instantly. Go B. Comprehensive induction. Districts that are serious about training and retraining teachers have a comprehensive induction program. Read how to implement one in the Going Beyond folder for the epilogue at effectiveteaching.com. It's time for education to have an aha, a light bulb moment, an epiphany. It's time to turn the page and move forward. We need a new generation of teacher leaders and administrators who view themselves as assets, as human capital, as people capable of implementing the already known way to improve teacher instructional skills. We do not need to install another program, structural change, or the same ideology over and over again. Just as the bottom line in business is profit, the bottom line in education is academic performance. The ultimate purpose of professional development must be to improve the academic outcome of every student. To do this, nurture your human capital from the mix of knowledge, skills, and talents that reside in every person. Developing human capital through sustained professional development is the key to continued student learning and achievement. Teachers are the only assets that do not show up on the balance sheet, yet they are the most valuable resource of a school. The teachers we hire today will become the teachers for the next generation. Their success will determine the success of an entire generation of students. The most effective schools invest in their future. They have a culture of proficient and effective teachers. They have a culture of predictable results. They have a culture of consistency. With our sincerest thanks for your efforts and your passion for creating a positive future for kids, Harry and Rosemary. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of The First Days of School, How to Be an Effective Teacher, 4th edition, by Harry K. Wong and Rosemary T. Wong. Performed by Patrick Lawler. Directed by Max Bloomquist. Engineered by Kelsey Knoll. Going Beyond resources are available via the following website, https://www.effectiveteaching.com/pages.php?page ID=6. Performance copyright 2015 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 877-474-1717.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.